Hello, welcome to the Swiss Info Programme for October the 11th. I'm Jo Fay. The outpouring of grief from around the world following H.R. Giger's death in May came almost as a surprise in his home country. The Swiss painter, sculptor and set designer has a huge underground following, notably for the monster he created for the film Alien. But while alive, he was largely ignored by the art scene. Not much was known about the man, but a film which premiered at the 2014 Zurich Film Festival goes inside the Oscar winner's home and life and shows how he lived in the darkness.
He portrays accurately certain dark areas.
This is coming from someplace else, and Giger is, you know, just the guy that this other world is kind of introducing themselves to us.
The documentary Dark Star, H.R. Giger's World, features the key people in his life. Close friends, his wife, his mother-in-law, his assistant, and even past girlfriends. We're here from the director and producer. And we're sticking with film this week, though this next documentary explores a different kind of darkness to that which surrounded H.R. Giger, the darkness found inside a Swiss ballot box. Thomas Isler is a Swiss filmmaker who set out to show how the much-heralded Swiss system of direct democracy was, in his opinion, going wrong.
I started to find that we come up to the limits of the possibility of participation.
Amidst the hustle and bustle of the 10th Zurich Film Festival, I spoke to Belinda Salin, director of the documentary Dark Star, H.R. Giger's World. She started filming Hans-Rudi Giger about 2.5 years before he died.
It was quite a coincidence because I met an ex-partner, an ex-girlfriend of H.R. Giger's, and we started talking about him, and I was immediately very interested because I knew him, of course, in my youth. And then when I met him first time, then I decided I want to make this film because he wasn't really like I imagined. He was not a dark man. He was not a dark character, which I assumed based on his art. He was quite a nice man.
For someone who wasn't regularly in the media, letting the cameras into his home was a rare event.
I think it was just the right time. Just the right time, the right place. And he knew it would be the last time he wanted to do a project like this. He said to me, it will be the last time that I will do something like that.
The documentary goes into Giger's home in the north of the city of Zurich. He created fantastical, often controversial images that combined the human form with mechanical aspects, known as biomechanoids. His home is a winding labyrinth of rooms, packed from floor to ceiling with books and piles of paper, balancing between pictures and paintings. The home somehow spans across 3 houses in a row, or completely without internal natural light, as the shutters are permanently closed. H.R. Giger comes and goes between the house's many nooks and crannies as the camera rolls. Oddly enough, for a film entirely about him and his work, he actually says relatively little.
He wasn't very well, and he couldn't speak really well when I was shooting, but he never liked to speak a lot. So I accepted it, and I think he was very relieved when he saw that I could accept this. He didn't have to speak a lot.
How did you sort of work around that? There must have been a lot of times when you were sitting in rooms together and nobody was saying anything. How did you make it work in that sense?
No, it wasn't strange at all. I spent a lot of time there in his houses. I spent a lot of visits, and we had the same wavelength, so we didn't have to speak a lot.
Marcel Hearn is the film's producer.
You must find a way from what you think could be a weakness, make a strength out of it. So let the people around talk.
Despite Giger's sudden shoot to fame in 1980, when he won an Oscar in special effects for the terrifying creature and sets he created for the blockbuster film Alien, it didn't mean he was suddenly accepted by the art world. The opinions of Giger in the film vary as much as his own personality seems to. In the film, the curator Andreas J. Hirsch, who worked on 2 large exhibitions of Giger's work, gives his description of the artist.
He feels most at ease surrounded by the uncanny. He feels at home in places that we all run from in fear.
But Giger's mother-in-law, Carmen Schaffella de Vega, describes him as just a normal guy. I asked Belinda Salin if she too had gained that impression.
Oh, yes, I did have this impression, but there is completely another side of him. He is an artist, and there is one side which stays mysterious, and I like that.
Giga's fans appear incredibly in awe of the artist in a scene at a book signing. Some offer up their arms for a signature in anticipation of tattooing it permanently onto their skin. Others whisper, "Thank you, master," bowing as they walk backwards away from him.
He didn't like to make a lot of show, but he knew very well that this fan base is very important for him. So they gave him a sort of acknowledgement he deserved, and he liked this very much. He appreciated it very much. He looked for the contact with them. He was there at the book signings, even when he wasn't in a very good shape. He was there, and he appreciated a lot the acknowledgement.
Although Giga received limited appreciation in Switzerland, it's clear how popular he was around the world, with groups who identified with his unique style and work. This intense following came clearly to the surface as news spread of his death in May 2014.
He never really got the recognition he deserved here in Switzerland.
Christian Jungen is a film critic for the Swiss newspaper, the Neue Zürcher Zeitung.
He was like the prophet who wasn't recognized in its own country. When he died, people like me, a regular film critic, saw how foreign newspaper fed it in their obituaries, H.R. Giger. I think a lot of people only at that point realized how much of a star he really was. And in that sense, the title of the documentary, Dark Star, is really accurate. And I think a lot of people are curious now to see who he was. I mean, we're talking about an Academy Award winner.
In terms of the film's potential, Christian Jungen believes it's not going to be a blockbuster, but agrees it will have a wider appeal than Giga's normal fan base.
The good thing is that the film caters to the fans, but it's not that difficult that if you don't know anything about H.R. Giger that you're completely lost. The film succeeds in bringing you closer to this artist if you're not aware of his paintings, but it also will be accepted by the fans because it gives you glimpses behind the scenes. The director really had access to all the key people, so it's really a film from the inside.
If you're not familiar with H.R. Giger's work, you may want to look into it a little bit before going to see the film. It's fair to say it's not for everyone, as Giger acknowledges himself in one of the many archive clips of him shown in Dark Star.
I always think if I show my pictures to my father or mother, it would scare them to death.
Also getting its premiere at the Zurich Film Festival was a new take on Swiss democracy. Four times a year, the Swiss vote on popular initiatives. The results come in during the afternoon and are broadcast on TV the same day. But as Swiss filmmaker Thomas Isler watched the evening news after a vote in 2012, he got the feeling that something was wrong. Isler has worked extensively with film for over a decade, creating video installations, animations and documentaries on topics such as Tamil immigration and development aid in Rwanda. His most recent documentary, Die Demokratie ist los, or Democracy Let Loose, is a product of his belief that the Swiss system has gone off course. I spoke to him sitting on the edge of Lake Zurich and asked him what issues he saw and tackled in the film.
We need a kind of framework. We need also a discussion about what is a democracy. And when does the democracy start to be a dictatorship of a majority?
That's something that I heard discussed quite a lot in your film, actually. You know, what actually is the democracy? What conclusions did you come to in the end? It's such a difficult question, and you come back to it quite a few times during the film.
I'm convinced that the democracy and our direct democracy is the best to share the power. But the power needs always a correction, a balancing. Most of the countries had a constitution where it's clear where is the border of this part of the power. Something I figured out during the film is true democracy in the people is one organism of the state, not the organism. So we need this classical check and balance. All power needs a control power.
The Deportation of Foreign Criminals initiative, where any non-Swiss who commits a crime will be automatically expelled from the country, is a major theme in the film. I asked Isler why he chose to feature this proposed change to the law.
This automatically is something very, very strange and very dangerous in that sense that we risk to lose the principle of proportionality. We have that principle in our constitution. So why put something in the constitution where people without Swiss passport don't have this kind of right? So that's something is very unjust, and I think it's against the rule of law. If we lose the rule of law, we lose also our democracy.
The party's aim was to send out a clear message that people could not come to Switzerland to commit crimes, ranging from murder and rape to defrauding the welfare system. 53% of voters supported the idea. Exceptions would be made for those criminals who would face death or torture in their country of origin. In the film Democracy Let Loose, Isler confronts a member of the right-wing Swiss People's Party, Adrian Amstutz, outside Parliament in the capital, Bern. His party is handing in signatures they've collected to pressure Parliament into speeding up putting the initiative into law.
Mr. Amstutz, don't you think this measure punishes people twice?
No, not at all. Foreigners who come to our country have to respect the rules or leave.
What if someone was born here or has been here a long time?
Then he has to respect the country's laws or leave.
So how is that different to a Swiss?
Simply that you can't deport a criminal Swiss.
Is that the next phase?
Yes.
Right-wing-led people's initiatives are a major cause of concern for Isler, who personally believes they're having a large negative impact on democracy.
We have to bring it back to say, what is our democracy? Our democracy is the power belongs to people and the human rights together.
Of course, it's not just the Swiss People's Party who have initiatives. We also have the left wing, we have the Young Socialists who have their own initiatives and ideas. So surely it can't be that we're just letting the right wing say what democracy is. Everybody is involved in this process here.
It's a discussion and also a kind of fight about what is democracy. And that is the good side of what happened in Switzerland. Sure, all political sides have their own idea of democracy. So we have to discuss that. It's not only in Switzerland. If you go outside and see it in other countries, the right wings, politicians, they see in Switzerland what they can have if they had a direct system. So they can make an agenda. Never possible in Germany or in France or in England.
Switzerland is regularly held up as a beacon of hope for those who want more democratic powers devolved to the people and decentralised systems. Isler went over the border to Germany and spoke to Ralf Uwe Beck from the campaign group More Democracy.
There's
a real yearning among the population to view the state as ours. To get away from the viewpoint, the state is there, and to raise the question, what is the state made of? It's we who live together who make up the state. And we who live together should ourselves determine what sort of constitution we want.
Democracy takes many forms all over the world, but here in Switzerland, it's really a hands-on process for a lot of people. At SwissInfo, we're curating special content all about democracy. Take a look online at swissinfo.ch/directdemocracy. Thank you for listening to this week's programme. I'm Jo Fay.
Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.